Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
The God that Isaiah said when he saw him in Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says he saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And when the angels of God saw him, the holy angels of God, they could do nothing but cover their face, cover their feet, and with twain, the Bible says, two of their wings, they flew, and they could only say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Man, the whole earth is filled with His glory. The Bible tells us we serve a great and wonderful God who had it all, lived in the presence of praise. There He was. And yet that God left that place, came to this earth, not to be served, but to serve others. He came to this earth not to live a fun-filled life, but he came to this earth knowing he would suffer and die. His service included going to a cross. And before he went to that cross, people would spit in his face. People would laugh at him. People would mock him. They would rip his beard from his face. They would do all of that. Then they would cruelly hang him upon a horrible cross where he would hang and suffer hell for us for those 6 hours on the cross. We don't even understand all that he went through, but we know that we have a God who serves us. The Bible tells us this: after he did that, he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he said, "I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you can be." And he said, "When you get there, I'm going to sit you down at a table, and I'm going to serve you." That's an amazing God. Our God is all about serving others. The Bible says he did not come to be served, but to serve. We have a God that serves. And God wants us to emulate him. God wants you and me to serve as well. God has called us to serve. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I want to read to you an amazing story. Any story that includes the Lord Jesus Christ is always amazing. But here's this story. This story is absolutely amazing. Jesus has been involved in ministry. People have been healed. People have been made well. But he leaves his place of normal service. He leaves a place called Capernaum. His area, that's where he starts, that's where his basic center of ministry was. He leaves Capernaum, he gets in a boat. Capernaum is on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. He goes across the Sea of Galilee and he lands in a place called Decapolis. He stops there and gets out of the boat. When he gets out of the boat, he walks up, there's hillside right there. He starts walking up the hillside. As he does, he is met by an unusual man. In Mark chapter 5, we read the story. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So out of the tombs, he just boards, he gets out of the ship, he starts walking up this hillside. As he does, there must have been a graveyard there. He comes, this maniac comes running out of the tombs, and the Bible says, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs. That is, he lived there in the graveyard. Why was he coming out of the graveyard? Because that's where he lived. He lived among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. They tried to shackle him. They tried to bind him with chains. This guy was so demon-possessed that they couldn't hold him down with chains. The Bible says in verse 4, gives that definition. It says, because that he had been often bound with fetters. The word fetters just means shackles. And chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. This is a mean dude. This is like a powerful dude. He's pulling through demonic power chains apart when they are, when they bind him in chains. Bible says, and the fetters were broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He was totally uncontrollable. And always, now listen to this, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. This guy, who is a naked maniac, crazy guy living in the tombs, sees Jesus. Now, he doesn't know much, but he knows this is Jesus. And he runs to him, and the Bible says he worships him. That is, he fell down at Jesus' feet. The Bible says again, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried with a loud voice. And he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, that is, I beg you. He's pleading with him. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. The idea is deliver me from the torment that I am and don't torment me. Don't send me to a place of torment. This, by the way, is the demonic man himself speaking. He comes, falls before Jesus and prays to him and says, deliver me from torment. Jesus answers prayer. Can you say amen to that? Jesus answers prayers. Look what happened. The Bible says, and he said unto him, that is, he looks at the man and he doesn't talk to the man. He says unto the man, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He speaks directly to the demons. And the Bible says he asked, what is thy name? The demon, by the way, it doesn't matter who you are on this planet or any place in the universe. When God asks you a question, you will answer the question. Jesus said, what is your name? And he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Oh, there's not just one demon there. There's a legion of demons. In the Bible, you can check it out, during Roman times, a legion consisted of 6,000 soldiers. He is claiming that there are 6,000 demons in this one man. You ever met a person like that? Anyway, maybe your boss, I don't know. Anyway, and he answered saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. So they are saying, look, don't send us away from here. Listen, there are certain places where demons feel comfortable. Certain places where demons feel, hey, we're secure. And they were saying, we don't want to leave this area of the country. So he says, now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Pigs were not supposed to be in Jerusalem. Jewish law said these are unclean animals. You're not supposed to ranch pigs. This is not what they're supposed to do. So Jesus is about to take care of two birds with one stone. They cry out and say, the Bible says, now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils besought him, saying, send us. This is not just one of them. Picture this. This is one guy now. He's fallen on his face before the Lord. The Lord's lifted him up and he's speaking to him. And now just one demon was speaking for all of them before. But the Bible says, and all of the demons, just voices are coming out of this guy saying, don't send us out of here. Don't send us out of here. Hey, let's do something else. And what do they want to do? They all cried, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Don't send us out into nothing. Don't send us to be tormented. Don't send us away. Send us, let us go into another physical being. Look, there's pigs there. Let us go into the pigs. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits, all 6,000 of them, went and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. So Jesus said, you want to go into the pigs? There's 2,000 pigs. I'll take 6,000 demons and stick them in 2,000 pigs. And the pigs said, we don't want them, and they killed themselves. It's amazing how pigs are oftentimes smarter than human beings. The Bible says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. So they go out. It's all over the city of Gadara, and it's also around all these other cities. The whole country, they're talking about this, and they go out to find Jesus. And they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil. Wow. And the Bible says, and had the legion sitting and clothed. It's amazing how God changes us. Can you say amen to that? Clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Let me give you another translation of that. This freaked them out. This guy was a nuisance, a problem. He had caused humiliation to them. These were cultured cities, and they've been embarrassed by this guy. They were afraid. And the Bible says, and they saw it, and they that saw it told how it befell him and that was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And they, listen what happens. The Bible says in verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Father, as we are examining this passage and more of this passage, I pray, Father, you'd teach us some things about service. I pray you'll let us see this morning that you can use anyone. Father, I pray that we might understand that, and we might surrender to your service today. And I ask that, I pray you work in each heart here, every single heart here. God, I pray that we would be convicted about our need to serve you as you've served us. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is fascinating, and I want to share with you 6 points from this story, and then I want to ask you to consider him, consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and consider his service. First of all, I want you to see in this story, I want you to see the slave. I want you to see this crazed man. This crazed man who at one point in his life surrendered himself to Satan. Who surrendered himself to demonic control. He had to surrender. He had to say, hey, I'm not going to obey God. And listen, whenever you say, I'm not going to obey God, that's you are making the choice to obey Satan. People will say, well, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own way. No, you're not. You're either going to serve Satan or you're going to serve God. There's a story in the Old Testament about Saul of Tarsus, or not Saul of Tarsus, Saul, the king, King Saul. God had anointed him to be king, and God sent him to kill out, to destroy a nation of wicked people called the Amalekites. He said, I want you to go. I want you to destroy all of them. Take care of all of them. Wipe them out. Don't leave anyone alive because they are unredeemable. Saul goes out and fights against this nation and wipes most of them out, but he doesn't obey God completely. He thinks to himself, hey, I got a better idea than God. I'll bring the king back and show that we conquered him. And I'll bring back all of his animals, and we'll be able to use those animals for our country. God didn't want that to happen. God didn't want that diseased, infected, those animals coming into his country. He did not want any of them left alive because he didn't want them to rise up later in the next generation and come against his people, which is exactly what happened. So Saul thought, I have a better idea. And after the battle is won, he brings the king back and he brings sheep and animals with him back to Israel. When they get there, Samuel meets him. And Samuel says, hey, did you do what God told you to do? Did you obey God? And Saul said, yes. He said, then why do I hear the bleating of sheep? Why do I hear these animals? And Saul said, hey, well, I thought I'd bring the animals back and we would sacrifice them to the Lord. Let's make something spiritual out of it. And Samuel said this. Go ahead and put it up. Samuel said, listen, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What you did was you chose to obey Satan rather than God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I often thought, what is that talking about? Why is rebellion like witchcraft? Here's the answer. When you say no to God, you have no other choice but to say yes to Satan. Witchcraft, Satanism, is you saying yes to Satan. When you say yes to Satan, you say no to God. Rebellion is saying no to God and saying yes to Satan. And Samuel said, listen, Saul, you need to understand. You've just entered in to a point where you're surrendering yourself to Satan. You're involved in witchcraft. By the way, there are no good witches. Doesn't matter what Hallmark says. I'm sorry, Samantha, but there are no good witches. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. That is, that's you saying, I'm going to do it my way. Iniquity is self-will, and idolatry, it's worshiping yourself more than God. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, you haven't done what he told you to do, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul, from that point on, it was over for him and his leadership, and he just went downhill, downhill, downhill. Listen, this man had at some point in his life said no to God. And when he did that, he may not have known it, but he was saying yes to Satan. And he opened himself up to Satan's influence in our life. Be careful about ever saying no to God. This one said, no, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. No, I'm not going to follow the ways of God. No, I'm not going to serve God. And when you do that, you open yourself up to Satan. His rebellion had led him to a life, in these verses, his rebellion had led his life to complete slavery. He is an absolute slave to these demons. He lived with dead people. He chose to live amongst the tombs. He was totally and completely uncontrollable. He could not be tamed. In verse 3 and 4, he was uncontrollable. He broke chains. And shackles, they put him in shackles and they broke them. I don't know if you've ever been put in handcuffs. That's a tough thing to do. Little old handcuffs. But man, he had shackles on him and he broke them. He pulled the chains apart. It caused fear in that entire community, that whole area of the country. The Bible says he had no rest because he was in the tombs night and day. He just couldn't get any rest. He was so totally and completely controlled by this wicked thinking. He was unhappy. The Bible says he was crying. He would be in the tombs day and night, crying, weeping, unhappy. You will not be happy disobeying God. And the Bible says he wanted to kill himself. He was cutting himself with stones. Some people cut themselves and they're not trying to kill themselves, but they're trying to let you think they're trying to kill themselves. This guy is a miserable, good for nothing. We would say he's a good for nothing piece of flesh. He's just useless. He's done everything wrong. People from time to time will come to me and they will say, Pastor, I would like to serve the Lord, but you don't know my background. Pastor, I would like to serve God, but you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know what I'm involved in. You don't know what I've been involved in. I just don't know if God can ever use me. I want you to see this man was a slave to sin, totally and completely possessed by 6,000 demons. If there was ever a useless case besides Lazarus, who was dead, if there was ever anyone that was totally and completely unusable, it was this one. Understand that. Think, well, I've done some horrible things. You haven't done what this guy did. You haven't gone running naked through the tombs, breaking chains and scaring the daylights out of an entire culture.
You haven't done what this guy's done. That's the slave. Number two, I want you to see in this story the Savior. I want you to see the Savior. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come unto me, no matter what you've done, no matter what your background, all you that labor, you're struggling, you're tired, you feel like the guy cutting yourself, you feel like there's no hope. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This man comes to Jesus. He falls down at Jesus' feet. Now listen, all he did was run to where Jesus was, fall at his feet and said, please don't torment me. And Jesus answers prayer. Jesus answers his prayer. The Bible, he does not ask the devil to come out. By the way, understand this. When Jesus speaks, you do what he says. He didn't say, would you be willing to come out of the man now? The Bible tells us he said, come out of the man. What is your name? The guy responds, my name's Legion. 6,000 of these demons are inside this man. Jesus commanded each of them. He was in control of all 6,000. That's your Savior. Say amen to that. They all had to do what he said to do. And now they're panicking out. And they say, look, don't send us out. We don't want to go. It's just you're a guy. Okay, whatever what you say, but don't send us out. They're scared to death of your Savior. They're upset about your Savior. Jesus has compassion on the slave, but he has condemnation for these evil spirits. And he says, get out of him. And they leave. Can I tell you this? Jesus will save anyone. Jesus will save anyone who comes to him and worships him. You just need to be willing to come to him. And you need to be able to say to him, God, I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do. In Romans 10:13, we read, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anyone. That is you. By the way, this is an individual thing. This is you personally coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I know I deserve hell. And I know that you died for me and you were buried for me and you rose from the dead for me. And I'm asking you to save me. Whosoever, you put your name in there because that's who he's talking to. Anyone. But you don't know what I've done. Look at the guy. Look at the slave. But the Savior said, it's okay, I'll take care of you. In John chapter 6, Jesus said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The maniac comes, falls down before Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you useless piece of flesh. Been out here running around naked. Get some clothes on and come back and talk to me later. Didn't do any of that. He said, no, don't let me be tormented. And Jesus said, okay, get out. And they got out. They killed 2,000 sheep or 2,000 pigs. But they got out. Jesus will save. He is the Savior. He'll save anyone who worships him. Third thing I want you to see is the surroundings. I want you to see where this is taking place. I want you to see the town of Gadara. Just show put the map up there. Gadara was on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee. Up here is Capernaum. This is where Jesus ministered. This is his headquarters, if you would. He came from this area of Galilee. He ministered primarily there. This is where Peter lived. He leaves on the boat and he comes down to this place. Gadara is here. This is the modern city of Gadara. We believe it was actually closer. And it's a city that's on the cliffs that are there by the sea. Around this area is a place, this is all called Decapolis, and that's important. The word Deca comes from the Greek word. Deca means 10. Opolis means city. There were 10 Greek cities, very cultured cities over in this area. And in the midst of these cultured cities, there's this madman, naked madman, who is running around in tombs and really being a distraction and a problem for that area. So he's that's where they're located. And I again want you to understand that these were Greek cities that would have been very, very cultured. This man would have been a great embarrassment to everyone in that city. Have you ever been embarrassed? You ever have somebody you just think, oh, I hope nobody realizes that they know me. I hope that we had an aunt when I was a kid. Now, my Aunt Romaine, we all loved her. But Aunt Romaine was dropped on her head when she was 8 months old. She grew up, and when I met her, we loved her, but Aunt Romaine would say things that were horribly embarrassing. Like to a 7-year-old talking to his friends, and Aunt Romaine comes in, and you think, oh no, what is she going to say? And she says, I changed that boy's diapers. That's an embarrassment for a 7-year-old. You understand? There are people do embarrassing things. But our church was very young. When you start a church, you do everything. I was the youth director. On Friday nights, I was the pastor. On Sunday morning, I was the music director, and I cleaned the nursery, and I did whatever we needed to do to get things rolling. That's just the way you do. On Friday nights, we would be working with teens, and every Friday evening, we would have a youth activity. Every Friday evening, we had a youth activity. And we would deal with street kids. We had street kids that came in. There was a couple of teenage girls that we led to Christ, and they were on fire. They were bringing their friends to church, and their friends were getting saved, and it was really neat. We would have 20, 30 kids on Friday night, and we would just have all sorts of different activities. So on Friday night, we would play with the kids. We would run with the kids. We would have fun with the kids. We'd do all sorts of stuff. But they did not have discretion. They did not know that on Friday night, I'm the youth director. On Sunday morning, I'm the dignified pastor. They didn't understand that. And our church was young and probably 4 or 5 years old. And I can remember one Sunday morning, I was shaking hands. And this one teenage girl named Cheryl, we had a lot of fun together. She was like, we adopted her. We said, she could stay at our house. We're just very, very close to these kids. And so one Sunday morning, I'm standing in the hallway. The church auditorium was over here. They were leaving the auditorium. I preached, and I'm standing by the door, shaking hands with people, looking dignified in my suit and my tie, all cultured, shaking hands. Yes, it was so good to have you. Yes, thank you for coming. Yes, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Yes, I know it was a great message. Yes. And we're doing these things, all right? As I'm doing that, a businessman comes walking up, first time visiting. I'm shaking hands, saying, good to have you with. When I'm talking to this man, Cheryl runs up, grabs my tie, and says, hey, Dave, what about this? And pulls my tie over to the side. And I thought, somebody shoot that child. What an embarrassment. We loved her. She just recently went to heaven. There are times of embarrassment. I want you to understand this guy was a total embarrassment to that whole cultured area. But this culture had gotten to a point where they had forsaken God. They were obviously raising pigs. They were ignoring the laws of God. They were proud, and yet they were fearful. They were fearful of Satan's, of the Savior's power. This is the culture. It's a Greek cultured place, and they're doing their own thing, and they're living their own way, and they despised having this guy in their midst. But when Jesus casts out the demons, they're more concerned about the money they're losing because of the pigs than they are about what's going on. They come to Jesus in fear in verse 17. Look at it. It says, and they began to pray to him. Again, Jesus answers prayer. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. They came to him and they said, you need to leave. You leave this place. We can't have you in this place. Leave. And the Bible tells us in the next verse that Jesus leaves. So we've seen the slave, we've seen the Savior, we've seen the surroundings, we've seen where this all took place. I want you to see, number four, the service. I want you to see, this is absolutely fascinating. The Bible says this in verse 18, and we didn't read this yet, so let's read it together. It says, and when he was come into the ship, they asked him to leave, he answers prayer, and he leaves. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. Oh, you're leaving. You've changed my life. I don't want you to leave. I want to be with you. Please let me go and be with you. The Bible says, he prayed them. He prayed and said, look, please let me come with you. But look, Jesus answers his prayer with a no. The Bible says, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He said, no, I want you to stay here because you can do something, humanly speaking, that I can't do. You can perform a service that I cannot perform. Wow. This naked, maniac, powerful man is sent away to do something for Jesus that Jesus, humanly speaking, I know Jesus can do anything, he's God. Jesus, humanly speaking, can't do anything. He can't do anymore in that place. The man comes and says, hey, can I come with you? Look, I years ago asked myself this question. Why doesn't God just save us and kill us? You say, well, that's terrible. Why doesn't he just give us eternal life and then, boom, take us to heaven? I mean, it's a whole lot better place, right? No more crying, no more tears, no more pain. That would just the no more pain is enough. You get to be with Jesus. You get to be around other people. You just get to spend time with them and just love them and praise the Lord. And this is what you get to do all the time, all day long. Nobody's contradicting you. Why doesn't God just save us and boom, take us to heaven? Here's the answer. The answer is people are going to hell. And God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. God saves us and he leaves us where we are to serve him. Why not just go to heaven? Why not spend all day long in prayer? Why not join a Christian commune? Why don't we just get out of here? Why don't we just I was driving through Colorado one time with my wife and we found a city that was for sale. A town that was for sale. Look down there, sign said, town for sale. Everybody moved out. There was a great big fence all around this town. You couldn't go into the town, but you could buy the town. My wife said, why don't we just move up here? Why don't we just get everybody from Liberty to move up there and we can just be in, just enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth. Why don't we do that? Because that's not God's plan. See, God wants you to serve him here. The physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of God the Father. One day he's coming back. But until that day, your body can do what he cannot do, humanly speaking. He said to this man, look, you go home and share what I have done for you. Can I say this? Jesus saves us to serve him. Say that with me. Jesus saves us to serve him. You didn't say it too enthusiastically, so let's try it again. Jesus saves us to serve him. A little better, one more time. Jesus saves us
to serve Him. That's why you got saved. That's why you're still on planet Earth. God saved you to serve Him. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to serve Him. He went back and served in a way that Jesus said, I can't do this right now. I've got to go. They want me out of here, but they're fascinated with you. You go back and you tell them what I've done for you. Now, that's amazing. But I want you to see something even more amazing than that. Here's the summary. Here's what the results of that was. This story that we've just read, this took place in November of 27 AD, this took place. I want you to fast forward with me to June of the following year. In June of the following year, Jesus is in a place called Tyre and Sidon. He's ministering there, and all of a sudden he says, we're leaving. He goes back to the Sea of Galilee, to Capernaum, where we showed you on the map. He gets back in the boat, and he takes his apostles, and he goes across the Sea of Galilee back to Decapolis. Here's what Mark says in Mark chapter 7, verse 31. This is, now listen to this, this is 7 months, maybe 6 or 7 months later. He goes back to Decapolis, where Jesus has said, look, I want you to, you can't come with me. You go and you tell your friends, and you go all over Decapolis. And the Bible says he went. He went all over Decapolis telling people what he did. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, and again, departing from Tyre and Sidon, Jesus is up in Tyre and Sidon. This is up in close to Lebanon. And he comes down to Galilee through the coast, or through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. He now comes back to the very place where he was rejected, where people said, get away, don't come, we're afraid of you, just get out. This was 7 months before, maybe 6 months before. They're scared to death of him. But now it's 6 or 7 months later, and he goes back to the same place. Why would he go back there? They've told him to get away. Why did we go back? Because things have been prepared. In Matthew chapter 15, the story is told by Matthew. Go ahead to Matthew 15. The Bible says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain. So he goes up to this same hillside where the tombs were, where the nut comes to get him. And the Bible says that he sat down there, and great, wow, listen to this. First time one nutty naked man, you understand, comes to him. The Bible says this time a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, they couldn't walk, those that were blind, they couldn't see, those that were dumb, they couldn't speak, those that were maimed, they were injured, and many others. And what do? This guy, they said, get away. They bring him and they cast him at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude, there's a multitude of them, when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, they glorified the God of Israel. This one nutty, crazy madman who ran naked through the tombs, who everybody was afraid of, got saved, and he wasn't allowed to go with Jesus. He said, no, you go back. And 6 months, multitudes are coming to meet Jesus, because this man said, I'll serve you where you want me to serve. Wow. I just want you to understand that if God can use a naked maniac, God can use you. Can you say amen to that? Let's say that together. If God can use a naked maniac, it's all right to say naked, even though this is church. If God can use a naked maniac, God can use me. Some of you were laughing. You weren't saying it. Let's say it together. Come on. Here we go. If God can use a naked maniac, God can use me. Pretty good. Let's try it one more time with some enthusiasm. If God can use a naked maniac, God can use me. And God wants you to know that. God wants you to understand what he did. But we look at Jesus and we say, of course he did that. He was God.
But I want you to understand, if God can use a naked maniac, God can use you. You say, wow, that's wonderful. God can use me. Well, the next question is this. How do I start? Where do I start? What's the start? Let me give you some answers to that. Very practically, today when you were handed, when you came into the service, you were handed this. I want you to get that out. If you got one between you and your wife, then let your wife read along with you. I want you to see there's some places you can serve. And let me say this, first of all, you can serve by getting involved in a connection class. Some of you are very faithful to come here Sunday morning at 9:45, get fed the Word of God. But listen, God wants you to serve, and the only way that's going to happen is if you get connected with other people. The reason we have on Sunday night at 5 o'clock connection classes is so that you can get connected. You can get connected with other people so you can find a place to serve. Our connection classes aren't just great Bible studies. They are great Bible studies. We have great Bible study teachers. But it's a place where you can get connected with other people and you can get involved in service. And so there needs to be. I'm asking you to pray about this and just do it. Come tonight. Come and say, I want to be involved in a connection class, be there at 5 o'clock and get connected with other people. Preacher, I just like to come in, hear the preaching and sneak out. I really don't want to get connected. Well, pray about that and say, God, please forgive me. And come at 5 o'clock and get connected. You say, what if I'm working? Well, if you're working, you've got an excuse. If you're dead, you can't come. I understand that. But if you're not dead and you're not working or in the hospital, you should come and get connected. You should get involved. And you should say, hey, I want to get involved in one-on-one discipleship. You can get involved in discipling someone else, in helping someone else. You can come on Wednesday night and get involved in discipling one-on-one. We have a Bible study in here on Wednesday night, but you can say on Wednesday night, hey, I'd like to get involved one-on-one with another Christian or one couple with another couple. You can get involved in that. Look over the serve somewhere sheet. Look at this. Look at that. Let's take a look at this and get in, find a place to serve. Let's look at the things that you can get involved in. Number one, attendance tracking. Listen, some things take a lot of intelligence. This doesn't. Anyone qualifies. A naked maniac could do this. Attendance tracking. What do you have to do? What are the qualifications? You have to be a member. You have to be a male or female. You have to be age 16 plus. What do? You come 20 minutes after the service begins, and there are people that are doing this right now. They're walking around counting. But we have less people involved than need to be involved. And you say, well, what? I want to hear the service. You can do that. You can come at 9 o'clock or you can come here to this service and then stay around for the 11:30 service. And you can do the counting in 11:30 service and then go home. You say, well, that would take extra time. Yeah. Service always does. And so start 20 minutes after the service and begin counting. That's an attendance tracker. And then there's the Awana leaders. Awana leaders, every Sunday night at 5 o'clock we have Awana. We have all these kids and they're having a great time and they're studying the Bible and they're learning memory verses and they're getting prepared for life. You can be involved in that. A male, a member, a male or female, a member, 18 or 16 years of age or older, spiritual gift is high. If you have to have mercy, if you're going to work with Awana, care to help and lead others to truth, the ability to relate to kids. Those things are important, but you can be involved in it as an Awana leader. It's fun, it's great, and you're serving. You can be involved in the bus ministry. The bus ministry, what are the qualifications? Well, you have to be able to have a driver's license. And if you're involved in any of our children's ministries, we have an FBI background check on you. You're saying you're kidding. No, we have an FBI background check on you. You say, why? Because we protect our children. Say amen to that. So we have an FBI, but it's not a whole long thing and you don't have to go before a court of approval. You just send in this paperwork and we check on you. But If you're going to be a bus driver, you have to be 25 years plus. If you're just a helper or an assistant, you can be 18 years of plus. Every Sunday or other Sunday, we have kids that are brought in here. These are street kids, like the ones I was telling you about earlier. They come and we're giving them an opportunity. They're not necessarily street kids. They're just kids that are unchurched. And we bring them here and they don't have their parents with them. And so you might have to sit with them in services with them. But you can get involved in ministering to people and watching lives change. Children's ministry assistant, which means very simply you're assisting with class and snacks. And I like that. Anything with snacks in it, you ought to volunteer. You help with crafts. You support crowd control. We'll have a couple hundred children here today, and you'll be helping with that, a desire to grow in leadership. There's children's ministry teachers. You may have the gift of teaching, and you should use that gift for the glory of God. Conduct a lesson with Bible perspective. You say, well, I've never done that, but I'd like to do that. We have training for that. But we have to know that you're willing to be trained so Pastor Neil can put together a training program, a willingness to learn and a desire to grow, good basis of understanding and able to relate to kids and leadership capabilities. All of that's important. Then there's the choir ministry. There's the choir ministry. Oh, I'm telling you, there's some of you out there can sing. And you know it, and the person sitting next to you knows it. And they hear you sing, and they think, why isn't that person in the choir? And you say, I don't want to do the practicing. It'll take some time. Look, I'm telling you, God wants you to use your gift. If you have the ability to sing, and Kyle, please don't volunteer. But if you have the ability to sing, sorry about that. You may have the ability. I've never sang. I said, no? Okay, his daughter said, no. So I was right. I called it, isn't it? Isn't that great? If you have the ability to sing and you're not singing, that's a shame. Yesterday, we had a funeral here, and there was a lady from our church who sang at that funeral. She had a beautiful voice. Pastor Shore was up here. I mean, she sang beautiful. You know, it was amazing. Pastor Shore came up to her afterwards and said, why aren't you in the choir? And so she'll be nagged for some time. It's the fact of the matter, you don't need a human being to nag you. If you can sing, you should be in that choir. How many of you enjoy the choir? Say amen. Man, just think how much better it would be if there were more voices in that choir. And you can do that. During the Sunday morning service, you'll be singing at 9:45 and 11:30. You practice at 10 a.m. You can be involved in that. You should be involved in that. What are other things? You can be involved in the Connection Cafe. If you like coffee, get involved in the Connection Cafe. Where you are, you can become a barista for Jesus. Really. If you like working with others, if you enjoy coffee or learning about coffee, helping, organizing, all those things. These are not difficult things that anybody can do. Greeters. We need people. People say this to me all the time. They say, this is one of the friendliest churches I've ever been in. That's why, and here's why. Because we have people who have committed themselves to greet people and make sure that everyone feels welcome here. Let me show you. Here's the qualifications. Take your hand and put it out like this. Just go ahead. Just do this. And do this. You qualify. You can serve Jesus. Guest services. Qualifications. You got to be a member, male, female. Give visitors cards out. When people come in, are you new? Yes. You say, I hate to ask people if they're new because they might not be new and then I'll look dumb. I do it every week. Have we met before? Oh, yes, Pastor. You baptized me. Oh, good to meet you again. Listen, if I can do it, you can do it. Greeters, qualifications for members, male and female, being able to shake hands. Guest services, distributing materials for events, keeping the main front area free from distractions. Media. Some of you are like tech geniuses. You're not like me, tech challenged. You can do things and know things. Man, we need your help. We've got so many things. Our media actually affects people around the world. I talked to a well-known evangelical preacher yesterday. And he said, Dave Tice, I got to tell you this. He said, you have no idea the impact that that church has around the world. He said, people ask me about you and about Liberty Baptist Church. I thought, man, you know why? Because of our media. You're involved in media. You can be involved in that. Here's one that you have to be gifted for. That's the nursery. The nursery. Qualifications. Remember, I'm so glad for this qualification. Female. We don't have men working in the nursery. We have ladies working in the nursery. Caring for kids 2 and under. Keep children in a safe and happy and healthy environment. Show babies and families the love of Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. Then an offering processor. We need people. You give offerings. We want to make sure that things are done right and that what you give is recorded properly so you can use it for tax purposes. I had a guy say to me one time, I don't ever claim anything I give on my tax records. I just never do that. I don't think you ought to do that. I said, do it. And if you feel bad about it, then give us the money you get back in your tax return. It'll be great. You can give twice. But we have we have people that count the money, and of course they've got to be able to be confidential. You have to be able to be trusted, accurately verifying amounts and counting, all those kind of things. Parking lot security. We have men that are, right now they're walking the parking lot, make sure that everything's going on well in the parking lot. It's important. People come in, they come to that front parking lot, they don't know where to go, and they'll leave unless there's somebody out there saying, hey, there's another parking lot over here. We have another parking lot in the back, and we need help with that. So our radio ministry. You can be involved in our radio ministry. Radio ministry. You can be involved. Service volunteers ensure broadcast, recording, basic editing, all those kind of things. We send the messages from this church all over the place. And the radio ministry, this radio ministry covers 3/4 of the valley. KVXL 101.1. It's amazing. On Sunday morning, this message is being broadcast across the valley. We need help with that. You can be involved in that. The sound room ministry. There are people that are up there balancing the sound so that the quality of the music that you hear is quality. And all of that is something you say, well, I have some expertise in that. Then volunteer. Get involved. Ushers. The people that greet people and bring them in and show them where to sit and help people in all of that, collecting the offering, all of that. The video room ministry. You can be involved in the video room ministry. We have a beautiful video room with all sorts of wonderful equipment, and you could be a great help in that. You see, we're not asking you, I'm just letting you know, Satan will tell you, you can't be used. There's nothing you can do. Oh, there's all sorts of things you can do. We also have outreach ministries that you can be involved in. First Choice Pregnancy Services. Last year, 2,500 children were saved from death. 2,500 mothers were given the gospel and many trusted Jesus as Savior through this ministry. Dads in School, which is a ministry led up by Pastor Neil. I said, what are the qualifications? He said, you have to be a dad. You can learn more about that by talking to him. God is My Dad. We got a Las Vegas chapter of God is My Dad. You can be involved in that, which is helping single mothers and children who are fatherless to know the love of Jesus Christ. Hope for Prisoners is a ministry to those who are incarcerated and helping them to get out and get their feet on the ground. Liberty Hope. We have all sorts of community outreaches, and you can be involved in those community outreaches. There's Refuge for Women, which is a ministry that helps people get off the streets and out of the life of prostitution. All of these ministries you can be involved in. Listen, there is an area of service. If you're saved, God saved you to serve. And there's places that you can serve. We have Bible clubs and apartment complexes every Saturday. You can be involved in that. We have cleaning every Saturday here in order for you to be able to come in and sit in a nice auditorium. People come through here and clean and make this place ready. You can come here. That starts every Saturday at 9 a.m. There's Liberty Baptist Academy. You can be involved 5 days a week with children, wonderful children. But they need monitors. We need monitors. We need lunch monitors. We have people in different areas that we need help with. And you can do that. Maintenance. There's all sorts of things around here. When you have facilities as big as this, we have 7.5 acres and we have multiple feet under roof, and we need people who are just qualified in the area of maintenance. What I'm saying is this. Here's a maniac, a naked maniac, crazy man, who everybody's embarrassed about. God saves him, and God says, I want to use you. And I'm telling you this. First of all, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and you think you're an impossible case, you're not as bad as this guy. And God wants to save you. God wants to save you. Number two, I want you to understand, if you're a Christian, God saved you to serve. And you need to make a commitment and say, I hope you'll take that card. I hope you'll look at it. And I hope that either today or by next week, you'll say, okay, I'm going to choose this area of service and I'm going to start serving him. Jesus served us by dying on the cross for us. Won't you make a commitment to serve him?
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.